Joining us on the Authentic Church Podcast. Let's jump right into this week's message.
If you have not been here over the last 2 weeks, I started a little mini series. Now, it's a little bit different from my normal style of preaching because this is more of a teaching. Because it doesn't matter what I think, it matters what the Word of God states. Okay, and so we're talking about the future. We're talking about what could happen, what is happening in our world today, and the second coming of Jesus Christ. And when I say that, how many of you are excited for the second coming of Jesus? Okay. And most of us are, but some of us at the same time are like, I'm kind of scared. I'm looking at the events happening in the world right now. I'm looking at what's happening in Israel, what's happening here, and I just don't know what to think and what to do. And so I want to remind you of a promise. First of all, Jesus spoke to the disciples and he said, listen, I'm going to go to be at the right hand of the Father, but I'm also sending the Holy Spirit to be with you. And he's the advocate and he is the comforter and he will always be with you. So no matter what trial you go through, God is with you. You're never abandoned by the Spirit of God, and he brings power into your life. He brings freedom into your life. And listen to this, he will bring clarity. When you're having a hard time understanding why you're going through what you're going through, or maybe the Lord is speaking to you saying you need to get out of this relationship. But you're arguing with the Lord, but that relationship was everything to me. No, your heart's going to get broken, and it already has been broken into a million pieces. You just don't want to be lonely, but you're not going to be lonely because I will be with you. The Holy Spirit's going to guide you in those moments when you feel afraid and you're like, God, I don't have the talent to speak to other people. I don't have the knowledge. Guess what? There's gifts by the Holy Spirit called a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge. He will tell you what to speak. We see that with the disciples as they were before the Pharisees. The Pharisees are about to accuse them, but they had this word of wisdom that they did not have before. And it baffled the men around them. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. That was the first promise. But Jesus also stated this to his disciples, and he told us as well that he is coming back. He's coming back. He didn't leave us alone in this dark, hopeless world. But he told us to live by faith, that we wouldn't be alone. Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. After saying this, he, talking about Jesus, was taken up into a cloud. And while they were watching, they could no longer see him. And so they strained to see him as he was rising into heaven. And then two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. And they said, men of Galilee, why are you standing here staring into heaven? For Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but guess what? Someday he's going to return from heaven in the same way that you saw him go. So the question that everybody is asking right now is he ready? Are you ready? It's a big question. And they've been asking it for generations. I think every generation has stated, well, this is the end. It's going to happen now. But is Jesus ready? And so let me say it like this. He is ready. He's been ready. But also what we're seeing right now is a grace period. What is the grace period? It means that God loves us so much that he cares for all of us to be able to repent and come into his holy presence so that we can be saved from the wrath and judgment that comes upon sin, that comes upon evil, that comes upon those that have rejected Jesus. God has given you the day to accept him and have your life changed forever. But what are you doing? Some of us were thinking, okay, well, I got as long as I need, I'll be fine. You're not promised tomorrow. Something could happen today. Are you ready to meet Jesus? Are you ready to give him your life? He's coming back. But is he ready? And so my answer is yes, he is ready. And he's been ready to come back. Let me show you a fascinating story. Have you ever heard of a man named Stephen? Stephen's out of the book of Acts. And it says that Stephen was a follower of Christ and he was able to perform many miraculous wonders and signs. And he started to preach the gospel. And so people were coming to him and they were accepting Jesus, but it made the Jewish leaders very mad. And so what did they start to do? They started to falsely accuse Stephen. Doesn't the enemy do that every time? When you start moving by truth and doing things for the Lord, that's when the critics come out of nowhere. And they start to falsely accuse you of things that you never did. Guess what Stephen did? He still spoke the gospel. What are you speaking? When they come against you, when they say bad things, when they're trying to hurt you, because listen, these men wanted to kill Stephen. And so they turned a mob against him. And so the mob starts coming after him. They're ready to stone him to death. And what did Stephen do? Did he say, please leave me alone? Did he try to run and hide? No, you know what he did? He looked up to Jesus. He kept his eyes on Jesus the entire time people wanted to hurt him. And guess what he saw? He got a glimpse of heaven, and he saw Jesus. Now listen to my wording here. He saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Not sitting down, but standing. Acts chapter 7, verses 54 through 56. The Jewish leaders were infuriated by Stephen's accusation. And so they shook their fist at him in rage. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed steadily into heaven. And he saw the glory of God. And he saw Jesus doing what? Saw Jesus standing. Jesus was standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. And he told them, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. Verse 59 and 60, as they stoned him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He fell to his knees, shouting, Lord, hurt them. Is that what he said? Lord, can you just make them trip up or something? Make them hit themselves with the stones, just one, like in the face, just an accident, just get one of them. Listen to this. He's being stoned to death, and he shouts out, Lord, do not charge them of their sin. And then he dies. The last words that they hear from Stephen. How did Stephen have the courage and the strength to say something like that when somebody was killing him in that moment? Because he kept his eyes on Jesus. And the Holy Spirit gave him strength to speak the truth. It was a testimony before them all. Imagine them throwing stones at him, wanting to kill him. And he says, please forgive them. And what did he say? I've never seen that before. I've never heard of something like that before, but he forgave them in that moment. And so here's what I'm telling you, no matter how bad it hurts, or what others have done to you, or how it feels like they're throwing stones at you at this very moment, Jesus can give you the strength to forgive and move on. Because if you don't move on, if you hold on to it, you hold on to the chains. And you have a burden on your shoulders everywhere you go. God is saying, give it to me, I can handle it. And I can handle it in a better way than you ever could by yourself. But to be able to have the strength, you gotta keep your eyes where? On Jesus, led by the Holy Spirit. But please notice what Jesus was doing. He wasn't sitting down. He was standing up to come back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we're going to study that at the end of today's message. But I want to show you one more thing as well before we get into the points. The disciple John also wrote this over 2,000 years ago. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. And John said, dear children, the last hour is here. Now, if John is stating it's the last hour, guess what? We're closer than John was, right? We're closer to that time of Jesus' second coming. He said that you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, and already many such Antichrists have appeared. From this, we know that the last hour has come. So what is John stating? He's saying that the spirit of the Antichrist has already been at work. It's at work right now, and it's continued to grow until the capital A Antichrist rises up and tries to control the entire world. Did you know that we see many Antichrists out of the Bible? The first Antichrist that we see out of the Bible is actually out of the book of Genesis. His name is Nimrod. It happened right after the flood. And so right after the flood, what did Nimrod do? He led the people to rebel against God, and he built the Tower of Babel. And guess what he wanted to do? He wanted to be worshiped by all the people until God did what? God confused their languages, and because God confused their languages, then they had to scatter and create the nations. But guess what? Many of them still worship Nimrod. They just created different names. He's the first Antichrist out of the Bible. And so fast forward to the end days, what we see out of Revelation, then the Antichrist shows up. The major Antichrist in the end days, possessed by Satan, who creates an idol of the beast and sets that idol of the beast in the Holy of Holies. Antichrist spirit is at work. But what are we seeing right now? We're starting to see the lawlessness little by little growing, growing, growing. What does the Antichrist spirit do? Or what does it do in our culture today? The Antichrist spirit wants to run our corporate organizations. Don't you dare talk about Jesus in the workplace. You're going to be in trouble for that. If you want to pray over somebody, listen, you're done. The Antichrist spirit also wants to control our nations and our governments and our laws. Why? Because the word of God, guess what, is offensive. And if you're not offended by reading the word of God, there's something wrong there. Because your flesh will always be offended. God told me to do what? But I didn't want that for my life. No, God says, lay down your flesh. I got something better for you. It's a new glorified body in the kingdom of heaven. But you got to leave the old here, right? But the world is not going to like that. And so they'll label it different things. They'll label it a hate crime or the word of God is offensive. Why? Because listen, you're offending the demons that want to control them. You understand that? Have you ever talked about Jesus and somebody's eyes just light up and there's anger there? You're like, all I did was say the name. Jesus, you know, like, just keep saying it. And you see the anger. Why? Because the demons know the moment Jesus shows up, there's freedom there. Ask Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene came into the presence of Jesus. She had many demons in her life. She meets Jesus. She's freed. She's one of the only few that followed him to the cross. She was there the entire time. But the Antichrist spirit is still at work. And guess what? The Antichrist spirit wants to control our schools and media programs and social media accounts as well. Why? To train our children to be against the Lord, to rebel against the Lord. Don't you ever post about Jesus. If you do, you're going to get a strike. And so all these things start to happen. The Antichrist spirit is at work, leading all this lawlessness to the lawless one, which is the Antichrist in the end days. But listen, the Antichrist spirit is also intrusive and controlling because it is demonic. I'm going to show you this. In the end days, the Antichrist will use his demons to control the nations of the world. The Antichrist is actually going to use his demons to possess the leaders of the nations in this world to do what? To fight against Jesus Christ, because Satan knows he's coming and he knows he's going to lose too. Revelation chapter 16, verses 13 through 15. And I saw three loathsome spirits like frogs leaping from the mouth of the dragon. This is Satan. And from the mouth of the beast, this is the Antichrist. And from the mouth of the false prophet. For they are actually, listen, the spirits of demons performing miraculous signs. These are the counterfeit signs that we see from the enemy. And they go out to the kings of the entire inhabited earth to gather them together for war of the great day of God, the Almighty. Behold, I'm coming like a thief. Verse 16, and they, the demons, gather the kings and armies of the world together at the place which is in Hebrew is called Armageddon. This is the battle of Armageddon. So the title of today's message is The Return of Jesus, Part 2. Part 2. And 2 weeks ago, like I said, we started this series. We went over a lot of different things there. I don't have time to go over all those things. We talked about the rapture of the church. We talked about tribulation. And so if you'd like to go on YouTube, you can search that out. But today, I gotta first talk about what's happening in the world. Because again, if we're talking about Jesus coming back, we have to look at the signs that are taking place right now in our country and around the world. So point number one is this. Was Iran's attack on Israel a fulfillment of Bible prophecy? Was Iran's attack on Israel a fulfillment of Bible prophecy? And to a degree, yes. But there's still a lot more to come. There's still a lot more things that need to happen. And again, when studying the end times, you have to look at Israel, right? You have to look at Israel. Why? Because when Jesus returns, where is he going to return on? He's going to land on the Mount of Olives. And the Bible tells us that when he lands on the Mount of Olives, which is in Israel, it's going to split it in two. Remember Hulk Smash, my little joke 2 weeks ago? Never mind. All right, Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4. On that day, Jesus' feet will land where? On the Mount of Olives east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives is going to split apart. This all happens in Israel. And a lot of people are confused today. They're trying to say Israel is America today. It's not America, okay? Jesus lands on the Mount of Olives. He splits it in two right there in Jerusalem. Not only that, but listen to this. The Battle of Armageddon is a location in Israel. So when we hear the Battle of Armageddon, it's actually a location in Israel. Megiddo is what it's called. Let me go ahead and show you a picture where they believe this is going to be the Battle of Armageddon. Look at the open plains here. It is the best site, honestly, for war, especially the cliff right here where you can see everything and look out over everything. Look at the fields there. This is all in Israel. This is actually a land called Megiddo. This is the Battle of Armageddon. This is a location. The location is in Israel. Now I got one more picture because I have been there as well. And we had some fun there. But this is the best picture that I had where you can see the plains behind me. So It's amazing. It's a beautiful sight. And I would love to, again, take the church out to Israel sometime in the future. I do believe that's going to be for us. And I'd love to take you guys out there and just be able to study the word and see these places. It's amazing to see. But Armageddon is actually a place. It's a location, and the location is in Israel. So there are three major prophecies about the nation of Israel that we need to pay attention to. And some of them have been fulfilled, some of them have been partially fulfilled, and some of them are to be fulfilled in the future. So the first one is this, okay? The Jewish people would be gathered again into their homeland. According to the word of God, the Jewish people would be gathered again into their homeland, and the nation of Israel would come back from the dead. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 12. Therefore, prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says, O my people, I will open your graves of exile and cause you, listen to the wording here, to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. There has been no other nation to ever come back from the dead. Not only did the nation of Israel come back to life, but listen, the Hebrew language came back from the dead as well. For many of the Israelites, they went into the Assyrian captivity, they went into the Babylonian captivity, and they started to take in the different languages of the cultures that they were in captivity of. But when they came back into the nation of Israel, guess what? Hebrew came back to life as well. We've never seen anything like this before, but guess what? God predicted it long ago. He's not surprised. Isn't the Bible amazing that you can read these prophecies and sometimes we're like, how is that going to happen? We get a little bit older, you start to see things and now it makes more sense. And we're seeing things today like we never have before. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 21 also states, I will gather the people of Israel from among the nations and I will bring them home to their land from the places where they have been scattered. And so Israel became a nation in 1948, which means Israel raised from the dead from over 1900 years ago. Raised from the dead after 1900 years. That's crazy. And so what do we do sometimes? We start to walk away from God just because he made a promise over our life and it didn't happen in a week, right? Or God spoke over us that we're going to have peace, but it's 2 weeks later and we're like, God, I still have no peace. Where's that relationship? Where's that home you promised me? Where's that promotion? All these things. God, I feel like there's no peace. Listen, it takes time to get your heart in the right place because it has to be broken for you to realize how much you need God to heal it. You have to go through some seasons of drought to understand that only God can bring the water. Only God can fill the jars. You have to be dry at times to see that only the Lord can bring oil into your life and it overflows and it overflows and it overflows. And then everywhere you go, there's a testimony and other people see it in your life. We got to trust him. Listen, God spoke over his people. They held on to that they would become a nation again. Many of them didn't see it, but it doesn't mean the promise wasn't coming for the nation of Israel. It happened in 1948. But the second prophetic word has been partially fulfilled, that Jerusalem would become a burden, a stone, a stubborn stone for the world. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2 and 3, I will make Jerusalem like an intoxicating drink that makes the nearby nations stagger. When they send their armies to besiege Jerusalem and Judah, on that day, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock, and all the nations will gather against it and try to move it. But I love the wording here. But they will only hurt themselves. When God is for you, the enemy can't touch you. When those people want to come against you and try to hurt you, listen, you're going to see them hurt themselves by the way they speak, by what they say, about how they come after you. Because guess what? Everybody's looking at their character and people start coming after them instead. And what did you do? You gave it over to the Lord. Right? God is saying, I'm going to protect my people. Listen, but the enemy desperately wants to control Jerusalem. The enemy, the devil, desperately wants to control the nation of Israel. Why? Because Satan is a counterfeit. God is very creative. I mean, look at the world around us, everything that the Lord has created. Look at each and every one of us in this room right now, or maybe if you're watching online, look at the people near you. God creates us all with different personalities and different looks. God is a creative, supernatural God. Nothing is off limits for him. His ways are beyond anything we could even comprehend. That's what I love about the Lord that we serve. But Satan is not creative. He is a counterfeit. So what does he do? He copies the Lord. And in the end days, he creates what's known as the unholy trinity. What is the unholy trinity? It is the it's Satan, it's the Antichrist, and it is the false prophet. And he's mocking the Holy Trinity, of course, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, notice what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the advocate and the spirit of truth. There we go. So everything that he speaks over your life is truth. He brings clarity into your life. But the false prophet of Satan, what's he going to do? He's going to speak lies all over the world, turn people against Jesus to follow the Antichrist. They'll take the mark of the beast because they won't be able to buy or sell without it. He is a man of lies. Why? Because Satan is the father of lies. According to the word of God, he is a father of lies, but he is a counterfeit. And so he wants to mock God. That's why he copies God. He mocks God. And so what does he want to do? The Antichrist himself will build a third temple. Okay, he's going to help bring the third temple during the days of tribulation with the Jews. And then in mid-tribulation, he's going to build the idol of the beast, which is of himself. And he's going to set the idol of the beast in the Holy of Holies in Jerusalem, and then he's going to declare that everybody around the entire world worship him. He's going to force the whole world to worship him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, he will even sit in the temple of God, claiming that he himself is God. Daniel talked about this. He prophesied about this, and he called it the abomination of desolation, and a lot of us have heard that saying. We just don't know what it means. Okay, so abomination means something disgusting. Okay, something horrible. And desolation just means destruction. So something horrific, something disgusting will be in the Holy of Holies in the city of Jerusalem and cause other people to worship the idol of the beast. And 2 weeks ago, and again, you can look this up on YouTube, we talked about how AI is getting a little scary today. And there are some good things about AI. Just recently, we've been able to put out some of my reels where we've been playing with it that I can speak Spanish, and I don't know how to speak Spanish. But it actually uses the tones of my voice to speak Spanish to help spread the gospel all over the world. There are some good things about AI, but at the same time, the Bible is very clear. I believe AI is going to lead to a beast system in the end. Okay, because cash won't mean anything. We're going to become a cashless society. That's how the Antichrist is going to control what we buy, what we sell, what we spend our money on. He can't control you if you have cash. So it's all going to be according to the mark of the beast. But the Bible also tells us that this idol of the beast, it comes to life. The Antichrist will actually put a breath in the idol of the beast. He's going to kill those people who do not worship it. We've never seen anything like that in the Old Testament or the New Testament. So something is different about the future, the end days. And so, of course, it is supernatural, but at the same time, I do believe it's some type of AI leading to this idol of the beast. But where is it happening? It's happening in Jerusalem, in the third temple. I also want to show you this. Now, this is just a new, just to have a perspective of Israel, okay? And how many nations surround Israel. Go ahead and show the map of Israel. I want you to see just how small Israel actually is with the nations that surround it. And according to Google, Israel is about the size of New Jersey, by the way. And according to Google, I wanted to look up the population. The latest one that they had was from 2022. But it states that the population of New Jersey is 9.3 million. The population of Israel is 9.5 million. That's how close it is to the size of New Jersey. And this little place, if this little place is heard about all over the world, and there's wars that the world is looking at right now in Israel, there's wars on top of wars on top of wars. And guess what? There will be wars until Jesus comes back. That's what the Bible is very clear about. The war doesn't stop until the King of Kings comes back. So Jesus shows up, and it says that he comes like lightning. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 24 that when Jesus shows up, the whole world will see it. And those that rejected Jesus will run in fear, that the stars will fall from heaven. The sun will go black. It will go dark. And they will see the Son of Man coming from the clouds above. It's amazing. Just recently, you know, we had the solar eclipse. And everybody started saying, all right, is Jesus coming back today? Is he coming back? I haven't seen him, you know. Listen, you're going to see him when he comes back. You don't have to doubt it. The stars are going to fall, but it's also going to be a time at the end of tribulation. This happens at the very end of tribulation. So the seven-year tribulation has to start. And we see this from the book of Daniel and also Matthew chapter 24, as he talks about that as well. And Jesus said in Matthew 24, I'm sorry, I know I'm going on a lot of side notes here. But in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus stated, when you see the abomination of desolation, know that I'm coming back very soon. And so that happens mid-trib, all right? But God is using a location so small to impact the world. You know what this proves? That God will use something that seems so little to bring him glory, to show his power, to show his strength in your life. How many times have you said to the Lord, God, I'm just too small. What I have is too insignificant. Listen, don't you ever say that to the Lord. Did God place it in your hands? Then it's exactly what you need right now. It's exactly what you need. When Moses was about to cross the Red Sea with the Israelites, remember what was in his hand? A staff. God said, use it, Moses. And he raised it up, and guess what he did? He gave it over to the Lord, and then the sea parted, and they went to the other side. See, God may place something small in your hands right now because he's trying to see if you're going to be a good steward over what he's given you. Because if you're a good steward over the little things, guess what? He's going to give you more. What did Jesus said? He said, the faith the size of a mustard seed can remove mountains out of the way. Hallelujah. You ever prayed over a mountain, like move in Jesus' name? Like just kind of wondering. But God always has a purpose for his miracles as well. Did you know that Jesus spoke this to the disciples right after he healed a man of demon possession? And so when he's speaking to the disciples, because they're asking Jesus, well, how do we heal people from demons? We weren't able to cast out this demon. And then Jesus said, if you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, then you can tell this mountain to move. You can tell this spiritual warfare to be gone and those demons have to leave. That's what Jesus was saying. By the name of Jesus, demons leave. There's freedom, but there's also peace over your life. You can lay it all down before him. But don't ever say you're too small or insignificant to be used by God. Did you know that God also commands us to pray for the peace? Peace in Jerusalem. Psalm chapter 122, verse 6, pray for peace in Jerusalem. May all who, listen to this, love this city prosper. Recently, Iran just launched more than 300 drones, missiles and rockets towards Israel. I heard another number that could have been around 350 against Israel. What's very interesting, and I believe this is the Lord at work, is that 99% of the missiles and drones and all these things that came against them were intercepted. 99%. That is the protection of the Lord. We should be joyful in the presence of God. So let me encourage you, stop being so scared when God says to move. Stop just holding back and doubting everything. When God is saying, move, he's going to protect you as well. His promises will come. And then this is also fascinating. And I saw this article, and it's kind of being debated right now. So possibly it's a rumor. I don't know. But it's just fascinating to look at. Saudi Arabia admitted to helping Israel against Iran. And the Bible is also very clear about the nations that rise up against Israel. We'll talk about that in a second. But there are some that will be for Israel. And so here we see Jordan, which is also, according to the Bible, to be there for Israel. The Bible, I'm telling you, it's amazing to see how it's just coming to life more and more. But also Saudi Arabia has helped defend Israel against the attack that just came upon them. God made it clear that he would protect Jerusalem. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 8 and 9. It says, on that day, the Lord will defend the people of Jerusalem, and the weakest among them will be as mighty as King David. And the royal descendants will be like God, like the angel of the Lord who goes before them. For on that day, I will begin, listen to the word of the Lord here, I will begin to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And again, this is about the end days, the end of tribulation. As Jesus comes back, he destroys all of those that are attacking Jerusalem, that want to control it, and the Antichrist. But there's another question, though. Why? Why are they doing this? Did you know, according to the word of God, this is going to be God's home? This is God's home on earth. And this is why Satan sets up his idol in the Holy of Holies. He's doing it to mock God, because the last time he tried that, it didn't work so well, did it? in the kingdom of heaven. He got jealous of God and he wanted to be worshiped. So he thought he could sit himself upon that throne. And Jesus said, I watched him fall like lightning. He has no power. He has no authority. He has no power here either. Because of Jesus Christ, we are free. But he's trying to mock God. He wants to set up his home, his throne in Jerusalem to just look at God and mock God. But Jesus will take care of him. And what's cool about the end days, and I'll get into this in a little bit too, the only one who is going to take care of everything is not our governments, not even our physical armies or our own intelligence at all. It is only because of Jesus Christ and following him. In the very end, the only one to free all people and save all people is Jesus Christ. And we get to experience that victory by doing what? By just following him as he comes to war. But this is the home of God. Psalms 132, verse 13 and 14. For the Lord has chosen, listen to the wording here, chosen Jerusalem. He has desired it for his home. This is my resting place for a little bit, forever. This is my resting place forever. He said, I will live here, for this is the home that I have desired. Now, the third prophecy I want to talk about has not been fulfilled yet. But we do know, according to the word of God, that a prophetic nation will partner with Iran to come against Israel. And we see this out of the book of Ezekiel, chapter 38, verses 5 through 8. This is called the Gog and Magog War. Persia, which is modern-day Iran, okay? So Persia is modern-day Iran. Ethiopia and Libya will join you two with all their weapons. Gomer, which is possibly somewhere in Turkey, we don't know. And all of its armies will also join you, along with the armies of Beth Togarma from the distant north and many others. Now here he states, get ready, be prepared. Keep all the armies around you mobilized and take command of them. A long time from now, you will be called into action. In the distant future, you will swoop down on the land of Israel, which will be enjoying peace after recovering from the war. So now that you see, again, how small Israel is, look at all the surrounding nations around it. Okay. And the total number of nations that come against Israel is actually seven. Seven means completion. So seven nations come against Israel. They are surrounded by them. We know this is the Gog-Magog War. All we know about Gog from Magog is that they are from the north. That's all we know. So many commentators assume that this is Russia and that Russia will partner with Iran and these other nations to come against the land of Israel. And again, we don't know for sure, but that's what many commentators believe. Persia changed their name to Iran in 1930. Now, when I saw this, though, on the headlines, this is what really gained my attention. Did you know that this is the first time Iran has launched a direct military attack on Israel? Did you know that? This is the first time the Bible records it that Iran will partner with other nations to come against Israel. This is the first time we see Iran coming against the nation of Israel. Does that mean that Jesus is coming back? I don't know. I know we're getting closer. I know that we're getting closer to his return. The question is, are you ready for it though? Really, are you ready for him to come back? He's giving us a promise and a glimpse of what will happen, not to make you afraid, but to prepare your heart for what's coming. He's saying, once you see these signs, nobody knows the day or the hour, but you will recognize the signs and the seasons, and you will know that it's coming near. So rejoice. Don't run away from the Lord. Rejoice, because one day we're going to be in the kingdom of heaven. There's going to be no more tears and no more heartbreak. No more hurts. But I also, listen, it breaks my heart. I've been, the people that I counsel, and I've been counseling people lately a lot more. It's just a lot of things going on. And sometimes I just want to say, have you looked up? I know you're hurt by the things happening around you, but you're so distracted by the wrong things, you're not even seeing what's happening. And the fact is, a lot of us don't even care. A lot of us would want to just kind of run away from it and pretend that we don't know so that we don't have to deal with it. Why are you running away from it when the early church was waiting for this? They were waiting for the return of Jesus. But God also made a promise. He said, anybody that stands with the nation of Israel, I will protect them. Listen to this, Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. I will make you a great nation. This is God speaking to Abraham over the nation of Israel. I'll make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. Now, how can the nation of Israel be a blessing and a burden? You ever thought about that? The blessing comes from Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ, through the seed of David, King David, would bring us all salvation all over the world. The gospel of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior, the Son of God. But at the same time, they are a burden. Why? Because again, we will see wars on wars on wars attacking Israel until Jesus comes back to defend Jerusalem and the nation of Israel. But they're a blessing. Our salvation comes through Jesus Christ. I will bless those, listen to the word here, I will bless those who bless you. But God also stated, I will curse those who treat you with contempt, and all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. And side note, Passover is actually this evening, today. I made a mistake in the first service saying that it was on April 22nd. It's actually today, this evening, that Passover takes place in the nation of Israel. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because 2 weeks ago, if you were here, I talked about the red heifers that are in Israel right now. If you have no clue what I'm talking about, let me just kind of go over it really fast. These three rare red heifers are in Israel, and they're about to do a purification ceremony with these red heifers in order to build a third temple. They're so rare that the last time they thought they had one was 1990, and it had blemishes on it. And so they haven't seen these type of red heifers since the last temple was built and then, of course, destroyed by the Romans. And so it's been a very long time, over 2,000 years since they've had this. And now they got three in the land of Israel. And guess what? As far as what I'm hearing, they're thinking about sacrificing it during the time of Passover. Again, Passover is this evening. We're getting there. We're getting there. And again, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just saying Jesus is coming and he's going to defeat the enemy. So point number two is this: dark times, or during dark times, the light of the gospel still shines. During dark times, the light of the gospel still shines. We know this in our personal lives, right? When you're going through a dark, heavy time, maybe it's a breakup. Maybe it's a loss of a job. Maybe your family dysfunction has gotten the best of you. God still shows up in the midst of it to bring you hope and peace. And so we even see that, listen, we even see that during the days of tribulation. Now, Jesus made it clear that the 7 years of tribulation will be the darkest time in human history. Jesus said in Matthew 24, 21, for then there will be a great tribulation, such has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. We see God do incredible things. And I do believe, okay, God is still showing me many revelations right now. I do want to do a series in the future about Revelation and really dive through that. But I believe that 144,000 Jews are going to convert to Christianity during the times of tribulation and present the gospel to other people. We also see an angel of the Lord during the times of tribulation come around and protect people. But we also see this. Now, this is one of the most interesting things about the times of tribulation that the Lord does. There are two prophets of God. There are two witnesses of God that show up, and they're able to perform miraculous signs and wonders. They're presenting the gospel. And then listen, even during the days of tribulation, people are getting saved. Revelation 11, 3 through 6. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days. Okay, this is 42 months, 3.5 years. I believe that they'll arrive around mid-trib, okay? They're clothed in sackcloth, representing repentance. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands, meaning they're led by the Holy Spirit, and they're providing the light of God's word. Standing before the God of the earth And if anyone wants to harm them, listen to this, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. I mean, speaking of a hot breath, you know what I mean? Like just taking out their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. They had the power over waters to turn it into blood and to strike the earth with plagues as often as they desire. And anytime this topic comes up, you hear the question, who are they? Who are these two witnesses that show up? And so there are two theories that I want to go over very quickly with you. The first guess is that this is Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah. Why? Because Moses brought plagues into the land of Egypt. He was able to turn the water into blood. And then if you know about Elijah, Elijah was able to cause a drought over the nation of Israel, and he was able to call down fire from heaven. Another thing that's really interesting about Moses and Elijah is that at the transfiguration of Jesus Christ, seen by Peter and a couple other disciples on the mountaintop, who showed up? Moses and Elijah. Okay, so many believe that the two witnesses coming back at the end days will be Moses and Elijah. But another guess is this, and this one's just as interesting, Enoch and Elijah. This one's interesting to me. Why? Because neither of them died. Did you know that about them? In fact, listen to this, Enoch was raptured out of the book of Genesis. And I didn't get to go over this in the second service last week, but a lot of people say, well, there is no rapture out of the Bible. Well, yes, it is. There's a Hebrew word, harpazo, and it actually means to snatch away. And we know, according to Thessalonians, that when Jesus calls us up, guess what? We will meet him where? Not on the earth. It says we'll meet him in the clouds. Philip was also raptured when he was baptizing a man. He disappeared and God transported him to a different area. And so we see it here that Enoch was raptured into the kingdom of heaven. Genesis 5:24, walking in close fellowship with God, one day Enoch disappeared because God took him. Now, some of us may think, okay, well, he died. That's what happened. He just died. God took him. Okay. Hebrews 11, verse 5, it was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. That's a little harder, huh? Without dying, he disappeared. Why? Because God took him. I love God. Like, he hasn't abandoned you. He shows up at the right time to rescue you, to guide you. As long as you're following him, as long as you give everything over to him. And a lot of people say, well, we don't deserve, you know, to be raptured. We don't deserve to be taken out of the wrath. Guess what? We also deserve hell, don't we? But if you believe in Jesus Christ and believe that he raised from the dead after dying on the cross, guess what? Jesus said, you're free from hell. I saved you from that wrath. That's not destined for you. We're not destined for the wrath. We're destined for the love of God and to share in his victory because we follow Jesus Christ. But Elijah too was carried off into heaven by a whirlwind. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11, as they were walking along and talking, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared, drawn by horses of fire, and it drove between the two men, separating them, and Elijah was carried by a whirlwind into heaven. This is important to understand because both witnesses die. Okay, so both witnesses that show up, presenting the gospel, performing miraculous signs, die. Revelation 11, 7 and 8. Don't miss this. When they completed their testimony, then the devil was able to do something. Underline that right there, the verse sentence right here. When they completed their testimony, the beast that comes out from the bottomless pit, this is Satan himself, will declare war against them. He will conquer them and kill them, and their bodies will lie in the main street of Jerusalem. Verses 9 through 13, and for 3.5 days, all peoples, tribes, languages and nations will stare at their bodies. No one will be allowed to bury them. And all the people who belong to this world will gloat over them and give presents to each other. Remember, the Bible was written before Amazon, okay? To celebrate the death of the two prophets who had tormented them a long time ago. People couldn't imagine. How would the whole world see it? Today we're like, I know how the whole world would see it. So what do we see here? The prophets. It says that the prophets tormented them, and so they would be killed. How did they torment the people? Listen, they tormented the people by preaching the truth of God's word because it offended them. which means cancel culture only gets worse in the end days. Talk about Jesus, I'll cut you off. Represent Jesus, I'll take you out. The people don't like repentance. Why? Because again, it's offensive to the demons that want to control them because it actually sets you free. But the whole world is going to see the power of God even when the Antichrist thinks he's in full control. So let's continue. But after 3.5 days, God breathed life into them and they stood up. Terror struck all who were staring at them. I bet they did. I bet they did get scared on that one. Then a loud voice from heaven called to the two prophets, come up here. I don't know if it sounds like that, but that's how I picture it in my head. And they rose to heaven in a cloud as their enemies watched. At the same time, there was a terrible earthquake that destroyed a tenth of the city. 7,000 people died in the earthquake and everyone else was terrified. Here it is. And gave glory to the God in heaven. So people started to get saved because of these two witnesses presenting the gospel. And when they watched them go up into the clouds, they gave glory to who? God in heaven. Not the Antichrist, not the beast. And so this means, listen, here's what's so good about this. The devil cannot stop your testimony. Because guess what? It wasn't until their testimony was complete and finished that then the enemy was able to take them out. But even when the enemy thought that he took them out, guess what? They will rise back up. And I'm telling you today, no matter how many times you get knocked down, God can pick you back up. A lot of you have been there. Maybe you're there right now and you're like, Pastor, I'm laying on the floor. God can still pick you back up. He always will. And so my last point is this. The Lord will defeat our enemies. The Lord will defeat the devil and his demons and all those that rejected Jesus and loved evil. Revelation chapter 19, verse 6, then I heard again what sounded like a shout of a vast crowd or the roar of a mighty ocean waves. Or the crash of a loud thunder, praise the Lord. What were they hearing? They were hearing people worship the Lord in the kingdom of heaven. Or John was seeing this. John was seeing this in the kingdom of heaven. People were worshiping God so loud, listen, that it sounded like thunder. You don't need earplugs in heaven. People aren't holding back. For some of us, we've grown up in churches where like nobody ever raised their hand, not once. And you're still trying to get used to it. I know for me, I remember like back in the day, I was like, okay, I did it, you know? Right, praise the Lord, like looking like a T-Rex over here. But in heaven, we don't care. In heaven, we'll shout it out. The Lord has saved me. Hallelujah. And he's coming back for his bride. He's coming back for the church. He's coming back to take out the Antichrist. They rejoiced in the kingdom of heaven. They gave him honor. For the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb. And his bride has prepared herself. Our praise on earth is a dim shadow of what it will be like in the kingdom of heaven. We'll rejoice together. And then John saw them celebrating. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 and 12, he says, then I saw heaven opened and a white horse was standing there and its rider was named Faithful and True. For he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. The horse and the color represent victory and battle. Remember when Jesus first came into Jerusalem, he was on a donkey, which represents peace. But when he comes back, he's on a horse, representing victory in a battle over the enemy. And then it says that he was faithful and true. This is the opposite of the devil's character. For Satan is a liar, John 8:44. He was a murderer from the beginning. He's always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. And it tells us that he is the father of all lies. But do you know what faithful and true actually means? It's what's so good about it. When they see Jesus and they see the words faithful and true, it means that God always keeps his promises. He keeps his promises of what he's spoken over your life. Listen to this. What does he promise? Jesus promised you peace that this world can't take away. In fact, when he told his disciples, I'm giving you peace, he knew that he was about to go to the cross. At the very moment that he said, I'm giving you peace, he knew that Judas was betraying him. But the environment can't take that away. And the devil can't take that away either. John 14:27, I leave you peace. It's my own peace I give to you. I give you peace in a different way than the world does. So do not be troubled. Don't be afraid. Please listen to the wording there. Stop being so scared and fearful and receive his peace that he has for you. He also promised us eternal life. John 10, verse 28, I gave them eternal life and they will never perish. Now listen to what he said. No one can snatch them away from me. The devil can't snatch you away from Jesus unless you decide to go. He promised he would come again. John 14, 1 and 2, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Also trust in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's house. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, Jesus said, I will come and I'll get you so that you will always be with me where I am. Revelation 19, 12 says that his eyes were like the flames of fire and on his head were many crowns and the name written on him, no one understood except himself. I believe it's the original name of Yahweh. But the eyes of fire, you know what that means? It means that Jesus sees right through you. It means he sees right through me. He sees our hearts. He knows when you're faking it. He knows when you're really running away, but you got that smile in church like everything is good. He knows when you're not listening and you don't care. He knows when there's evil planted in your heart. He sees right through people, but also he had the crown of many crowns. And it represents that he is the king above all kings. When he first went in Jerusalem, he had a crown of thorns. But now he wears many crowns. In Revelation 19, 13 and 14, he wore a robe dipped in blood, representing the blood that he shed for our sins. And his title was the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on the white horse. And I believe we as the church will follow Jesus. And maybe you're saying, but I don't have a weapon. I don't know how to fight. Verse 15 and 16, all we need is Jesus. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from the wine press. And on his robe, at his thigh, was written the title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Who is wrath? Who is the wrath for? The devil, his demons, and those that have rejected Jesus, not us as believers in Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9, for God did not destine us for wrath, but to possess salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in the very end, listen to this, Revelation 19, 20 and 21, the beast was captured, and with him, the false prophet who did mighty miracles on behalf of the beast, miracles that deceived all who had accepted the mark of the beast and his false prophet were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is actually hell. Okay, hell is the actual lake of fire. That's what hell is. The entire army was killed by the sharp sword. Listen to this. That came from the mouth of the one riding the horse. That's how the army died. That's how the beast was thrown. Because Jesus came to rescue us. And my question is, are you ready? Can I have you stand right here? I got one big question before you check out. Okay, here's my question. How do we prepare? How do we prepare for all this? How do we prepare for the end days? How do we get ready? Here's what you need to prepare for. You ready? Just prepare to meet Jesus. That's it. That's it. That's the answer right there. That's where peace comes from. I don't have it all figured out, but I know that I'm going to follow Jesus. When people come against me, I'm just going to follow Jesus. When I'm hurting on the inside, I'm going to follow Jesus. When I'm scared to death of what's happening in the world, I'm going to follow Jesus. Because he's the one protecting and guiding us. So many of us are so concerned with finding the Antichrist. I'm ready to find Jesus.
Yes.
It's time. But are you ready? And so right now, when you close your eyes, I'm going to ask you this question. If you were to be honest and you're struggling and you feel distant from the Lord and you're saying, Pastor, will you just pray over me right now? Will you raise your hand? Raise your hand. I see you. Thank you for being honest. Thank you for being honest. Thank you for being honest. God, I pray, Lord, over your children right now that you haven't left them, that they're not abandoned. God, that you are there. And I pray, God, for that peace that you said you came to give us. I pray, Lord, that their hearts have given over to you, Father, so they can have that eternal life that you came to give us, Father. I pray, Lord, over them right now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, guide them and comfort them. Let them no longer be afraid. For the Lord is saying, come back to me. You ran after other things and it did not fulfill you. It did not satisfy you. It was meaningless and you've seen that now. But what the Lord has for you is wonderful and joyful and it will overflow. And the Lord is doing a mighty work the moment you run to him and cry out to him. And all you have to do is cry out the name of Jesus. Be in his word. Worship his holy name. Speak to him every day. Don't give up. The promise still stands. And if you've never given your life to Jesus, let us all pray this prayer in honor of that person praying for the first time. And listen, if you're praying this for the first time today, please don't just leave. Give it to a crew member so that we can help guide you, pray over you, help you in any way that you need to grow. But say this with me, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross and rose from the grave. Forgive me of my sins and lead me by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
We hope you enjoyed this week's sermon. If you've been blessed by this message, be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss future messages. And if you feel led to give to this ministry, check out the link in the description and see the other ways you can get connected.